You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back. Does anybody else want to stay? Let's ride!
Okay. It's Monday. I didn't think it'd be Monday again. Can you imagine that? And who's in the chat room right now? I see the first person I see is Brian O'Connor. Gadget Doc. Hit the red button, Frank. Which, of course, if you've been with this show long enough, you know what that means. All of the shows that we have done and lost into the mists of time with no trace of their existence on Ustream because I would forget to press record. Oh my God, how many nights we've screwed up entire. It would be like halfway through the show and we've already done like boom boom, we're like dropping bombs everywhere. And then all of a sudden it's just like, oh no, all of that's gone. So what's going on, everybody? I see Hoss Perot. Hoss Perot is in the chat room. What's going on, Hoss? What's going on, Mer? What's going on, Nikki? What's going on, Marianne? What's going on, Evie from Brooklyn? What's going on, Dan? LS Dan is in the chat room. Guys, I have my thank you, my plug sheet tonight. I have my plug sheet tonight, so I'm going to thank you guys twice as hard because, of course, Friday night I forgot my Patreon Patriots plug sheet. But it was a good weekend. I hope everybody had a good one. You know, Thursday is the day for kind of like family and like, I guess, family, traditionally. But, of course, the weekend after Thanksgiving is something for friends. Friendsgiving is usually when you have what you have over the weekend. Or second Thanksgiving, as some people do. And it was pretty cool, man. Pretty good weekend. And now it's just like it's Friday all over again because it's a nighttime. And we get to get back on air. So it's a lot of fun. A lot of good stuff's happening, except if you're in Ohio State campus today, where a Somali refugee student was knifing people after using a car to try to mow some over. I don't think anybody has died, but 9 people were injured, 1 injured critically. And the OSU's campus newspaper, The Lantern, ran an interview with the guy, Artin, what of his last name, Artin Muhammad something, who knows, in which he criticized the school for not having Muslim prayer rooms on campus. Here are some quotes. "I wanted to pray in the open, but I was kind of scared with everything that's going on in the media," he stated. Well, you know, rightfully so, because there are Muslims like him out there. "I'm a Muslim. It's not what the media portrays me to be." This is a couple months ago. "I don't blame them," he continued. "It's the media that put the picture in their head, so they're just going to have it, and it's going to make them feel uncomfortable." Artin's motive is not yet known, yet authorities maintain that the attack was, quote, done on purpose, because there are instances in which you can accidentally drive people over and then get out and take out a large sharp object and start swinging at people. So there's that. We could talk about that if you guys want to call in with any of the new details that are coming out on that one. Right now, it's really all I had to say. First, I heard that there was an active shooter on Ohio State's campus, and I was thinking to myself, oh well. I mean, you always wonder when the next one's coming. And then, of course, You know, a lot of people just kind of went, oh, damn it. This looks really bad. Because, you know, now it's not a matter of dealing with an issue and anything like that. We're waiting to see. We're waiting to see what the description of the attacker is now. Half of the country is praying he's white. The other half is trying to have their own biases confirmed to see if he's Muslim. And what do you know? It's starting to lean toward the other way a lot more than the latter rather than the former. Europe and the U.S. Of course, Europe is a lot farther down the road, but we'll get around to that. Canadian Prime Minister to skip Castro's funeral after backlash for praising deceased dictator. Now, Justin Trudeau, he might have to go skip out on Daddy Castro's funeral. And why do I say daddy? Well, this is the latest gem that the internet has given all of us. Now, of course, people like to describe Justin Trudeau in a number of flavorful ways, because the guy is a complete lunatic and just a fool, an absolute fool. But this is something that was on, I believe, Reddit or something like that. Listen to this theory now. Ever wonder why Justin Trudeau doesn't look like his father, Pierre Trudeau? Pierre Trudeau was married to Margaret Trudeau, who frankly did not care for her husband one bit. She had multiple affairs with many famous people, including Ted Kennedy, Mick Jagger, and possibly the rest of the Rolling Stones. She cucked Pierre all across the world. Pierre and Margaret were fans and even friends of Fidel Castro. I'm positive that Justin Trudeau's real father is, in fact, Fidel Castro. Now, obviously, it's just a rumor that we're all just like rubbing ourselves in because it's just so delicious and funny. But when you really look at this, you look at Justin Trudeau and his... Look at this. I'm going to capture these pictures here. You're going to see Justin Trudeau in the middle of both his alleged father, his confirmed father, Pierre, and then, of course, his alleged father, Castro. And just look at this shit, man. Hold on a second. I got to get this up. This is hilarious. Look at those cheeks. Absolutely nothing like this dude. And hell yes over here. And then look at this one. It's the young Castro pictures that are remarkable because they even got the same hair. Because, I mean, what the hell's happening here? Go back. So really look into this one, because obviously there's a lot of people saying shit, but what can you really think? I really do think all these people are that incestuous and weird. Look at young Castro. Look at Justin Trudeau. Weird, yo. Look at this one. This one's even more interesting. Boom. Castro. Looks nothing like Pierre. Absolutely not. So if you're listening to that, the podcast, it's just a whole lot of fuckery. And the internet is trying to keep us on our toes. Once again. Oh, what else can I say? So I want to get that out of the way. Canadian Prime, because I want to clear the road for just chilling. News from the Associated Press. Nope, that's not what I was looking for. Let me see. Okay, this is what I wanted to do. So, the Hillary Clinton campaign is now kind of condoning what Jill Stein is doing. And this is very odd. Now, guys, call in whenever the hell you get a chance, because this one right here, I just want to hear everybody's take on it. Because I think that Jill Stein has definitely destroyed her credibility over the last couple of days alone, that's pretty striking. Credibility destroyed. I don't know what she's doing in Wisconsin. Apparently, the deadline was missed for Pennsylvania. And to be honest, I just don't know what's happening with anybody anymore. So if you have an idea, obviously the only real thing that anybody stands to gain from any of the stupid recount shit is just that this is the plan for now. You need to completely delegitimize the Trump presidency from the beginning. You have to block any kind of normalization. You don't want people getting comfortable. You don't want people getting objective. You don't want people being sound of mind. You want people to stay right where they are. It's textbook manipulation. Textbook manipulation. That's all it is, because somebody else's interests are being impeded on. So you look at this and you're thinking, this is definitely horse shit. And it's definitely for, but why? And then you think, is it promotion for the Green Party? Everybody was showing the type of news coverage that Jill Stein has brought to herself. So it's definitely self-promotional in some way, but it's such a negative thing. You're willfully bringing attention to some hypocritical little whim that you're on, that you're following. It's very odd. Very, very odd. So we're on the watching out for this one. Clinton campaign will participate in the Wisconsin recount, from the Washington Post. Here's from Zero Hedge. Let me see what's going on in the chat. Gadget Talk's calling in. What's going on, man? You're mute. No, I don't hear you. I'm going to have to call you right back because you're mute. It feels like a Monday night, you know? I'm kind of all over the place right now, and it doesn't feel like it's going to get much better. I'll probably go home and I'll stay up all night thinking about this broadcast, and we're only 11 minutes in. Trust me on that one. Look, the same song has come on just 11 minutes later. That's a terrible, terrible omen. Terrible omen. This show is going nowhere fast. If you want to save yourself the next 45 minutes, do something else. Trust me. I know where this is going. What's going on, Gadget Doc? Oh, no, you're mute again. I see your lips moving, but nothing's coming out. So now we're getting bad audio with Skype. That's another feather out of the cap of the broadcast. So now I can't listen to the callers. I have nothing good to say. I don't like the news. And what? What do you want me to do? I'm trying to figure out ways to fast forward the clock now. I don't know how I'm going to get through the next 45 minutes. I'm utterly embarrassed. Do you understand what I'm telling you? This is utter embarrassment. Here's Alex Jones pissed off. I thought this would be funny. Maybe this will save us for the next minute. It's only a minute and 12 seconds. Hold on a second. This is actually really funny. This might just snap me out of it.
Fox is where MSNBC was 2 or 3 years ago. Now MSNBC is foam at the mouth deception and is so filled with hate of you and your family, they can't even control it. I will be, you know what? I will go to hell before I sit here and I watch this country and the world turned over to these savages. I'm done, I'm pissed, and I'm not putting up with it anymore. Let me tell you something, you filthy traitors in the government, you pieces of crap. You are the most degenerate, twisted, mentally ill people I've ever seen, wanting to gang rape this republic. You people are enemies, and we're gonna get your asses, and we know what you're up to, and we're coming for you. I just hope you understand that. Now, get back to what I was saying. We have, ladies and gentlemen, a new app that has A lot of great features.
Oh, man. Man, oh, man. You know, the thing I realize is his the wiping of his mouth is the thing that I just wait for now. It's all he does is wipe his mouth. Now, I usually stroke my face a lot more whenever I have longer facial hair. But this is something else. I think he's constantly sweating. What's going on, Gadget Doc? Let's try it again. Nope, it's not working. The volume's up. Everything's fine. Look, there's Gadget Doc. There he is. His lips are moving. There are things definitely going on his end. And it's just not, I don't know, it's just not translating into reality right now. He's screaming something. He looks like he's trying to break out. There you go. I think he's trying to tell me to stay zen and to be calm. No, he's not saying that. Blow up. Okay. I think he wants me to go Super Saiyan. I think that's what's going on. Go Super Saiyan. Okay. All right. So that's what we're going to do, Gadget Doc. Let's restart your computer. See if something is like that, and then give me a call back. All right. You know what? He wants me to go Saiyan. Now, let's look into this a little bit. Now, we are trying to sift through some stuff in our country right now. And the thing that we need to sift through the most, because we already did the biggest, best thing we could have done, is to stop the Clintons and to freeze everything at least where it is in its tracks and try to just tilt the scale a little bit back toward the other way. The weather vane. That's all we need. We need to start getting the wind blowing back a little bit more. We got to start backstepping a little bit. We have to retrace our route. But these people out there, now we see electoral voters, the ones who are pledged to actually submit the electoral votes in December. We see that they've been deluged with death threats in multiple states now. One of Michigan's 16 electors who will be called upon to cast a vote validating the election of Donald Trump in the Electoral College has testified on video that he and others in the states are receiving dozens and dozens of death threats from Hillary Clinton supporters, urging them to switch their votes to Clinton. On December 19th, the Electoral College will convene to cast their votes for either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, with each state's electors pledging to vote for the candidate elected on November 8th in their state. But more than a dozen states have no laws making it illegal for the electors to change their vote, while others have only a minor penalty, such as a fine for doing so. If Clinton supporters can get enough of the 163 electors from the states where the Trump both won and votes can be easily switched on December 19th, then Hillary Clinton becomes the next president of the United States. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But look at the mentality. Look at the people. Look at what is going on. That's number one. Number two, I wanted to bring something up. And I just went right to WikiLeaks, first of all. I mean, not WikiLeaks, Wikipedia. Because I wanted to bring this up for a while, and I'm going to bring it up tonight. And we're just going to read through this. Now, the Communist Control Act of 1954, because this is just communism. This isn't all. Are you a Democrat? Are you a Republican? No. Those are masks. Those are Halloween costumes that you buy at Party City. Democrat or Republican, you tell yourself that, but what you're doing is you're being herded. You're being herded into a slaughterhouse, an ideological slaughterhouse. Because two American political parties have been hijacked even by something even more foul than you can ever say controlled either or at any moment, at any time. Okay? This is something very... These people do not care. Don't care about the country. They don't care about the idea that is the United States of America. They believe, very oddly, that there is a country, the United States of America, but it has some bottomless pit of wealth merely because of our geographical location, maybe, or maybe because the color of our flag or how nice our government buildings look in Washington, D.C., and it's very, Grecian-style of plotting that we did with that city. What is it? What is it to these people that they think that the idea of America goes so far without having to look back at what America, the idea behind America really was? Which was the individual. Which was freedom of the individual. Which is an experiment like no other. Like no other tried anywhere else that yielded the greatest results. Like no other, like no other place on earth. They don't want to look at that. There's a very weird... I wish I can get inside their heads and actually feel what they feel as far as what they think about a country and what they think about a government and what they think the relationship between a government, a country, and people are. What a person is. What a person's goals should be. What freedom is. What independence is. And whether or not, I want to know what that is. I want to know what all these the relationship between everything is. I would love to get that glimpse of what's going on or not going on inside their minds. Because, of course, the minds have been erased. Because, of course, we should have never stopped looking for commies. We should have never stopped looking for commies. We should have kept that House on American Activities Committee open for business. We should have never stopped hunting for communists in Hollywood. We should have never stopped hunting for them. Ever. Ever. Because here it is. And you can say that this is pretty much reverse McCarthyism, what's going on right now, that people are trying to seek out the capitalists. People are trying to seek out the small government people. The big government status communists that wear ridiculous sugar-coated versions of what they're trying to... They wear the mask of sugar-coated names and all that stuff, Democrat. They call themselves Democratic Socialists. They call themselves whatever the hell they want to call them. And they explain and rationalize away. And they say that communism, socialism hasn't been done right here, hasn't been done right there. We have better ideas we got to do. So those are the people that we're dealing with. But really, it's just reverse McCarthyism. Which in itself, even though we've had plenty of proof along the way that McCarthy was right. We had every right to fear what was being brought into this country through our cultural institutions such as Hollywood and what people were being exposed to. We had every right to be afraid for that, because what is that? What is communism if it isn't the antithesis of what America was? It was a place where you came to make it or break it and be free to live and die by your own efforts. And of course, there was something holding it all together. We did have national pride, and we do have a defense mind. We do have a central government, but one that wasn't that intrusive. So when you look at the incoming ideas from Europe and the Eastern Bloc and all that stuff coming in that are on the opposite side of what made us great and unique and one of the greatest experiments in the world, the reason why that we have the longest functioning constitution that's still technically here, it is because it is one that doesn't allow for government to grow itself. Now you say, how does it not allow that if that's what we're living with? Well, I mean, I guess people don't follow the rules. I don't know what to say. And we have a lot of constitutional lawyers now that run around the country, and they study every comma and every syllable of that document, not to figure out how to uphold it, but figure out how legally... Okay, in legalese, how to bend it to do their will. That's what we've seen out of, the desecration pretty much of the 14th Amendment. A piece of Reconstruction history that has been turned into some miracle amendment that you can call anything a civil right now, anything a human right now, and that's it. That's it. It's upholded by law and the courts and the executive. Forget about the legislative branch that put it into play that drafted it and amended the Constitution, and there is plenty of documentation there so you can see what the 14th Amendment is about and why it was written specifically. This is not a living, breathing document. And this is what you have, the incoming flux of communism and why it was so scary. Now, what was the Communist Control Act of 1954? The Communist Control Act of 1954 is a piece of United States federal legislation. This is straight from Wikipedia. Signed into law by President Dwight Eisenhower on 24th of August 1954, which outlaws the Communist Party of the United States and criminalizes membership in or support of the party or communist action organizations, and defines evidence to be considered by a jury in determining participation in the activities, planning, actions, objectives, or purposes of such organizations. Okay. This didn't ban the Democrat Party. This didn't ban the Republican Party. It didn't ban any free speech, anything like that. But I don't know. What's the background of this, though? Created during the period of the Second Red Scare, so this is 1946 to 54, the act was one of many bills drafted with the intention of protecting America from the potential threat posed by the international communists. The international communists. Okay? Now, at that time, you had leaders of countries who wanted to expand their own spheres of influence. These days, it's not so much like that anymore. Since then, we've been taken over by an entirely different group altogether of international bankers and corporatists and all that stuff who sponsor these governments around the world. Okay, so it's not so much. I think what we're seeing right now is a pushback. We're at the tail end of a cycle where these globalists have exposed their hand too much and got a little bit too brazen, and people aren't as stupid as they thought. Now, they have a lot of support out there, the stupid people, but the other people who push back against this globalization, this globalism masquerading as globalization, they're the ones who are really, really doing good work right now. And now, during this time of the Second Red Scare, some argue that the pursuit of subversive aims, even by peaceful means, should be outlawed. So that means people coming and preaching on college campuses about the wonders of communism that continues to kill people indiscriminately. Thus, many oppose communism because of its supposed subversive aim to undermine liberal democracy. In the words of the prominent sociologist Ernest Vandenhag, there was, quote, no place in democracy for those who wanted to abolish even with a peaceful vote. Who wanted to abolish democracy even with a peaceful vote. And that's exactly how communism has been taking shape and it taking grip and hold in this country. That's how it's been happening. You say peaceful votes, but what you're really doing is voting to get rid of democracy. And now we're at a stage with the supporters on the left who see peaceful free elections, and when things don't go their way, because they are no longer on the side of freedom and the side of freedom of expression and the side of any kind of system of government, a governance where democracy allows it to thrive, which is what a republic is. A republic is not capable of functioning without democracy, but it's not a pure democracy. And pure democracies are usually the last phase before a hard tyranny is put into place. Democracy is soft tyranny of the 51%. Okay, you tell me what group of friends can even sit around and decide what to watch on fucking Netflix. That's a democratic vote right there. How do you ever decide what to watch on Netflix with your friends and not be stalemated for an hour and a half sifting through all the categories? but you think that that's how a government should be run? Are you out of your mind? Most people aren't even mentally capable enough to sift through some Netflix. You want to put the fate of our borders and our culture and our military and everything into the hand of the Netflix crowd? Come on here. Come on. There needs to be safeguards against that. There needs to be safeguards against that. And there also needs to, at the same time, where there's a platform for legitimate debate. But one of the many ironies about these pushes for the communist left is that their own ideas are really, I mean, it's dependent upon the destruction of a free state. If their ideas are ever going to get in, they need to get rid of the free state. And that's what we're looking at here. Now, here's the act, a little bit on the act itself. The Communist Control Act was originally proposed as an amendment to the Internal Security Act of 1950, which had sought to combat the spread of communism in labor unions. Oh, God. God. Apart from its secondary focus, which concentrated on the illegality of, quote, communist front organizations, the bill was drafted with the intention of tackling the root of the communist problem in America, the Communist Party. In its second section, the CCA of 1954 portrayed the American Communist Party as, quote, an agency of hostile foreign power. The party was described as an instrumentality of conspiracy to overthrow the government and as a, quote, clear, present, and continuing danger to the security of the United States. The act made membership to the Communist Party criminal act and stipulated that all party members would be sanctioned with up to $10,000 fine or imprisonment for 5 years or both. Additionally, according to the third section, the Communist Party would be deprived of the rights, privileges, and immunities of the legal body. Now you can go and say, well, what kind of a witch hunt does this create? You know, you can just accuse somebody you don't like of being a communist. Well, we're going to get into how you actually... Tomorrow we're going to get into how the actual investigations went in HUAC and how what they uncovered and maybe some of its mistakes and what the process was, because, I mean, what was the process of sending a tip in and how credible are those tips taken and what kind of steps were taken to validate any of these tips, you know? So now here's some of the controversy around it. There is much controversy surrounding the act. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, and this one I thought was very interesting. The Federal Bureau of Investigation and its director, the famed J. Edgar Hoover, opposed the bill on the count that it would have forced the communist movement underground, which I think is very interesting because it is true. In addition, the Michigan Law Review argued that the politically charged act was plagued by a number of constitutional problems which would have undermined its effectiveness. The Yale Law Journal lauded the act as, quote, the most direct statutory attack on internal communism yet undertaken by Congress, but stressed that, quote, haste and confusion of the act's passage, which led to many, quote, vague and ambiguous provisions. So whereas people were saying that it was a fantastic instrument to combat communism in the United States, it seemed to have been written with haste and left things way too open and vague, which of course what we can see, we're seeing with even, you know, today, NDAA, detaining people indefinitely without cause, and NSA, anything, the no-fly list, the no-buy list. How do you get yourself off of this no-fly list? How did you get on? What recourse can you take to get yourself off? Under whose authority are you put on? Who are the officials that are acting as the arbiter of these tribunals that are deciding the fate of citizens, even though they themselves are unelected? You know, so I understand the vagueness of it. But I guess in this point in the game, I applaud anybody's notions, even if they're from decades ago, of saying communism was a cancer that needs to be kept under a very, very, very large microscope, and we need to monitor every goddamn shift in its movement. So from a 2016 perspective, anything that's anti-communist in nature is just so refreshing. But of course, we're looking at things that are, you know, equally as vague in the modern day that all make us very nervous. So we're all, you know, a lot of the people listening to this podcast are saying, yeah, well, you know what, fuck the commies. Right. But, you know, fuck the no-fly list, too. Let's see what's going on in the chat room. Bobby G. He just made reference to Yuri Bezmenov in the chat room again. Also, check them out. Check out Think Squad on Tumblr and Facebook and Twitter. Think Squad, Bobby G. Good to see you again, man. And of course, we play a lot of Yuri Bezmenov on this show because it's a glimpse into how they do it. It's a glimpse into how we got to where we are. So we're going to look into a little bit more of the Communist Control Act tomorrow and all that good stuff. We talked about Justin Trudeau being Castro Fidel's bastard. Alex Jones got pissed. We did that. It's good for a laugh. More Trudeau. Ohio State. Facebook build censorship tool. We already talked about that. Electoral voters deluge with death threats. Campaign, Clinton campaign will participate in the delegitimizing campaign. That is the bogus recount bullshit. That is raising a lot of money and putting a lot of ill-gotten media attention onto the Green Party and Jill Stein, which I she got less than 1% of the vote. I don't know how she's going to get 0.5% next time. What a fucking embarrassment. What a fucking embarrassment. A couple weeks ago, the week leading up to the election, you're telling everybody it would really not be an ideal world to wake up on November 9th and know that Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump is our president. But let's be honest here. Hillary Clinton is the far more dangerous choice. And of course, Jill Stein is only talking about that from a saber-rattling, war-profiteering standpoint, destabilization standpoint, and all that stuff. I haven't seen Jill Stein's immigration thoughts on immigration, but we know that aside from war, I mean, Jill Stein would probably really love a... the world that Hillary Clinton would create. I mean, the Green Party is the party that's responsible for what's going on in Sweden right now, with the feminist snow plowing and the mansplaining hotline when they have migrants causing a lot of problems out there. But there's going to be a pushback all around Europe soon as well, and that's going to be a real fun day. Real fun day, which brings me to my next point. With all these things happening and all of these pushes and all these movements around the globe that are really colliding with each other, independence movements with collectivist movements and the collectivists really being exposed and the media being exposed and pushed back on, and, you know... That's the whole thing. You try to get into power as quickly as you can by duping people as quickly as you can. But it's hard to subvert a country like the United States in its entirety because of the way that the United States has been organized. It's hard to do that because there's so many checks, there's so many balances, and there's so many things that you have to take apart, so much history. Now, they've done a fantastic job, but do you think, because we're starting to really just get very brazen with what we tell these communists, what we think about them and what we know about their history and how we're not scared of exposing it anymore. What could really be the next thing, the next push to get us all together, that big collectivizing UN times 10 movement? Are we at the brink of one of those fabled hoax alien invasions? That's what I want to know. Yes, we're going UFOs right now. Are we on the brink of one of those long talked about UFO invasions? Hoaxes, though, of course. Things in the sky, something to really just shock people into, I don't know. What do you think? Dr. Stephen Greer says it's going to happen again. He's been talking about it a lot more lately. It's going to happen. And I'd love to get somebody like Dr. Stephen Greer on the show. I'd also like to talk about that that other woman. Gadget Doc, do you know who that fortune teller woman from, I think, South America was? Who made all these predictions for years? About even when the next major world religion is going to be founded. Things like that. So, I don't know. There's a lot of things that we're going to have to look with. All the predictions. We got to get all of the big philosophers and the soothsayers. All the works. Edgar Cayce. We got to take out all the notebooks. And Brian says that the aliens aren't getting involved. I think they are. I'm sorry, I think they are. I know I'm biased. I'm biased when it comes to aliens and wanting the aliens to show up. Matt in the chat room says it won't be aliens, it'll be asteroids. You think so? Matt, in what way? Actually, guys, call in. Skype at ZenLive.tv. I want to know, what do you think? What do you think the next thing is? What can really bring this world together under one giant government? Because it's being thrown back. It's not happening. It's not happening. And that's that for tonight. I'm going to give you guys about 5 minutes to call on in. And while you do that, I'm going to thank everybody for being a part of this very messy Monday night broadcast. And I want to thank everybody because I'm going to start writing the December Patreon letters now. I can't wait to get them all out to you guys because I got a lot of great letters back this time. So the pen pals are really getting fun. Thank you guys for really supporting me. Patreon.com/quitefrankly is how we're going to keep growing the show in the future. And we got a lot of plans. And hopefully, they're less and less resembling tonight's show. Michael Wells is the first boss I want to shout out. What's going on, Michael? Michael Wells, Nikki Solis, Andrew Dame, Laura Varis, Perry, and Stacy Little from Mohegan Sun. Mike May, who said that my intro is going to be done within a couple of days. We saw a rough cut of it. It was really awesome. I sent him a disclaimer today, so he's going to put a disclaimer in the beginning. I can't wait to have that out. Matt Smith, Sean Collins, Christian Peppas of the Amatory Murder, Max Incaparato, Rob Corrado, LS Dan, Rudy Escarcega, Jackie Milam, Eric Reitz, Whitney McShann, Matt DeFabio, who's chilling out on the other side of the room, Brad Meyer, his cohort in creating the 1984 Club, and of course, Jenny Lee, Kate McCallum, Marianne Hart, Gadget Doc, Bren Antilles, leader of Rogue Squadron. Can't wait to go see it, regardless of what their commie writers said. And then, of course, Stephanie K. Beauty. Check out StephanieKBeauty.com. Stephanie K is a good friend of mine, and she makes people look beautiful. So what can I say? What can I say with 1 minute left on a shortened show tonight? It's less to say. There's nothing to do here. There's nothing. We didn't talk about Jeff Sessions, but I don't care about talking about it because I think enough has been said by all the right people to really point out the bullshit and the hand-wringing. We have to just admit one thing. It's going to be recounts until December 19th. Recount until December 19th. And then until the inauguration day, it's going to be, I don't know, just a little bit of a lull. Then after inauguration day, everything is going to be impeach. Gadget Doc, one more shot. I don't hear anything, though. Nothing's coming out. I don't know. I see him cursing. But there's... I'm muted. Now it's unmuted. And he's not saying turn video on, turn video off. It's not me. I don't know what it is. So we can take calls. He's screaming something. He looks very... Write something down? You want me to write something? Look in the chat room? Look in the chat room. Okay. Hold on. I just found it while my parents... Hold on. No. Got nothing to say. Found it. I haven't figured out how to use it yet. Like, you need a topic. Look in the chat. Topics. Alternative to Facebook. I just started using it. Oh, there's an alternative to Facebook? How many people are on it? Bobby G. You can call in. I'll stay on for another minute longer, but I feel like throwing myself out the window. What do you think about that, Gadget Doc? I had a bad night tonight. Yeah, listen, it was terrible. Good, I'm happy that you want to jump and you want to throw yourself around and fly around, but it was a terrible night. Thank God for you. Drive. Okay. We're going to play charades now. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Christmas party. Christmas explosion. Okay, Christmas bomb. Oh, God. I might just delete this episode altogether. This episode might not be here tomorrow, guys. We'll just say that it was the extended Thanksgiving break, and I just didn't want to come back on Monday. And for everybody that showed up, it was yours to say that it happened. What are you saying? I don't hear it. You know what? Let me call Matt. I'm going to call Moonlit Matt to see if his audio works, to try to triangulate whether or not... Hey, Moonlit Matt. Oh, no. It's me. It's gotta be me. Well, what the hell is going on? Nothing's muted. Conversation. Call. Audio settings.
You hear me? No?
Oh, there he is.
You got me?
What's going on, man?
Oh, okay. It was my audio.
No, I switched. No, it was mine. Go ahead.
It was you. Wow, you're okay. So let's talk about the tactical nut. I thought about this earlier.
Okay, what is it?
The tactical nut. We're going R-rated right now. Someone was talking about tranny porn earlier. I'm gonna bring it back to straight porn. The tactical nut. It's when you're doing it missionary, like God intended, and you're about to nut. You pull out. You throw her legs up. You slice the pie with your dick around the thigh. And you rush her face and shoot her right in the face, headshot. Tactical nut.
Jesus. I mean,
I don't know why I thought.
That's very well thought out.
Very well. I was in the shower, too, so I don't know what I had to do with it. How was your Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving was pretty good. I mean, the Cowboys are 10-1. Everything is great on that front. I managed to avoid any and all political discussions with what little family got together. That didn't happen at all. I heard that, leading up to it, I was like, I wonder. Everybody's getting disinvited from Thanksgiving. I said, I haven't had a family to hang out with on Thanksgiving in more than a handful of people in years. So I knew that whatever group I was going to be with was going to be nice and intimate, quiet, and cozy. So I always have a good time. Thanksgiving's good.
Yeah, I didn't have any political issues. Well, the little bit of family that I had, I spent time with for Thanksgiving. They're all, Republicans. So there wasn't really any political. It was a bunch of circle jerking, Democrats. Am I right?
Can you imagine those strictly Republican Thanksgivings where the whole family just happens to vote the same? It's like the most peaceful Thanksgivings ever.
Or I want to be a part of a solely Democrat part, like Thanksgiving party, and see how that goes. Like the virtue signaling is like, yeah, so I was walking down a street and I saw some, couple like being harassed by a Trump supporter, and I just stopped them right there and shut them down, and then a group of people
and
came
I said,
up
hey!
And started clapping for me when I did.
Yeah.
Or like something ridiculous, like who did the best thing, I gave a dollar to a homeless person. I don't know, something like ridiculous. That's how I imagine those type of parties.
I love when people get back from anywhere and they're like, oh, I had a moment to reflect today. I did three things that I think was just really awesome that I want to tell you guys about in so many words. But, even though this is an indirect bragging about me, I really wanted to bring up something that I learned from my greatness today. It's just that, blah, 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 blah. How many fucking goddamn Facebook posts every day do you see like that about one topic or another? I was able to sit back and really admire myself for a second after I did something great and really thought-provoking. I live a very thought-provoking life. I wanted to share this with you guys. And this is why, and for everybody, I want you guys to know something. There's a reason why I ask you to call in. Now, tonight was an anomaly. I just got on and I just felt something weird from the beginning. I was like, this is not going to be a good show. Even though I was pretty confident
and
stuff.
That's why I called him with a tactical
nut. This is what I'm talking about, though, dude. You guys have got to call in. Because can you imagine your thoughts mixed with my normal plans for the night? That, right off the bat, would turn this into the need to make this into a two-hour show right off the bat. Because there would be no time. And the derailments would be so funny. And we always find a way to link it back into what we were talking about. So you have got to dig deep down inside yourself. Find something to make nuts out of and have some nuts.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think the problem is, even with me, I keep telling myself to just call in, even if it's with an off-topic thing. But I think a lot of people just don't call in because it's like, I don't have anything to add to this discussion. Well, call in and bring up something else that,
yes.
Like bring something else. Like you don't have to stay on a specific topic because certain topics don't need much coverage. Like the recount, it's dumb. There you go. Topic over. The recount thing with Jill Stein, as someone said, so stop talking about Jill Stein. So I felt the need to bring it up again.
Oh, totally. Dude, there's nothing. There's really. It's not a. It's been a very, very boring couple of days for news. It's like I don't know what the hell to talk. That's why I wanted to bring up the communist. Control Act. I thought that was some good history, but I should have gotten a couple other things that are a little bit off topic. That's what I should have done.
Oh yeah, news wise. Oh, you heard about Dylann Roof's going to defend himself? The Charleston shooter, white kid that shot up he's going to defend himself now.
I heard
about
that.
That should be comical.
I heard about that. I heard
that would go as well as the DC sniper. I'm sure.
The whatchamacall? It was the judge. The judge gave him. It said, "I would advise you not to," but ultimately gave him permission. So there should be some really good sound bites to come out of this trial, and then of course he will be executed afterwards. So
I didn't read it. I just saw a comment about it to where he was denied like if he pled guilty, like there was a deal, like if he pled guilty, you get life, and that was denied. That deal was denied. So he couldn't even like plead his way out of like lifetimes, like a life term, apparently. So I'm pretty sure he's getting the death penalty, but him defending himself, I think, is going to provide, as you said, some good sound bites.
Totally. Absolutely. Anything else on your mind? I see here that from the Observer that Egyptian archaeologists just discovered a 7,000-year-old lost city along the Nile.
Really?
7,000 years old, a city. So while we were stuffing our faces with mashed potatoes this past Thursday, we missed the announcement of a major scientific discovery, a sacred capital city of ancient Egypt that had been lost for 7,000 years.
Hmm.
It's called Abydos.
I'm looking at that. It sounds like it's kind of interesting to me.
Yeah, joining the chat right now is Gadget Doc. Gadget Doc, what's going on? You're on with Moonlit Matt.
Hey, Moonlit. How you about it? Doing, buddy?
Doing pretty good. How about that libertarian fight that I saw in the chat?
Yeah. My cousin went complete anarcho-capitalist on us.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he's like, yeah, we need to completely Now, personally, I don't give a shit about drugs, but that was the wrong crowd to say, yeah, we need to completely deregulate. Hold on, I got the echo in the background. We have to completely legalize drugs, and the only reason that we have any crime is because we have rules and cops. And I'm like, dude, you're missing the point. It's a matter of scale. He's like, the problem is the laws. If you did away with the government, you wouldn't have. Everybody would just agree. Well, that's what the fuck laws are. It's the agreed upon rules of the society.
So if we didn't have government, everybody would agree on what?
On just, you know, we would have perfect property rights. We'd be able to live in Shangri-La, that kind of shit.
It was not with government. What the fuck's like if people don't agree on the law?
The reason why we need small government is because we can't agree, and humans don't agree. So that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, literally, he got mad and got ganged up on by three of us. For like, no, your argument's complete shit.
Oh, I would have loved to have been there for that. To be honest.
Yeah. Now, mind you, this is a relatively conservative family. So because all the very liberal side of the family decided not to come to Thanksgiving this year. Mm. I missed them. They were missed.
Was it because of politics?
No, I think it's more because my parents and her and my aunts and uncles are getting up in age. And, my uncle... that's very liberal, that works for the EPA. He was with his children's families. They're having families of their own. So he wanted to have something a little more low-key. So that was part of it. Yeah. I also think avoiding politics was a key fact.
Hey, what do you think about this? Let's switch away
he's
from...
He's a smart guy.
Let's switch away from that for a second. Listen to this. This is from the Daily Mail. Russia is developing a mega rocket that will transport supplies to build a base on the moon, Deputy PM reveals. Vladimir Putin wants work to begin on a new super heavy space rocket. Rocket would enable construction of a lunar base, Moscow has claimed. Ambitious plan was unveiled by Deputy Prime Minister Dmitry Rogozin. What do you guys think about that?
I think they would want to do that because they were embarrassed with their aircraft carrier that still uses diesel fuel. So this is a way to kind of get some face back, and they have a pretty decent space program. So I could see them trying to do that.
You think it will be successful?
Depends on the timeline. Aircraft and space travel is inherently risky. We even see this with SpaceX and their rockets. I mean, we went, 2 years ago or a year ago? We were watching the live launch, and it blew up on the launch pad there.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, yeah, it could. I think if it's engineered correctly and it's not like it's unknown to go to the moon, it's not like they've never been to the moon or at least orbited the moon, I think they would. They have a chance of successfully sending a manned spacecraft to the moon. Now, colonizing the moon, that's a whole nother ball of engineering that has to go into it, and that is a larger task to take on.
Got you. Here's another. Whatchamacallit? Hold on, wait a second. That's not the one I want to do. Obama dumps 6,000 more child illegals into local communities. Buffalo schools struggle with students speaking 85 different languages.
All right, I got part of the reason I called was for three topics.
Go ahead.
All right, so one of the topics I had was a UK charity is doing Christmas cards that reflect the Mideast war crisis, and they have Christmas cards with drone strikes and Mary and Joseph going through, like, bombed out Aleppo.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to show you with the Christmas card and the explosion. It's in the producer chat. Another thing is the UK is going really prudish and trying to block porn again. You know,
they blocked face sitting in porn a couple of years ago. That was upset, or at least they went after it, which was really upsetting to me because just like, you know, think about all the 69 videos that were never filmed because of that.
Damn travesty.
It is a damn travesty. It's the only reason why anybody watches porn is for the 69.
Well, apparently 3 digits in a woman's okay. 4 is just 1 too many, too far. That's how ridiculous this thing is.
What is it saying now?
Oh yeah, so they're.
Are you saying that it's limiting how many guys a girl can screw in a gangbang?
Oh, even a finger bang. They're saying how many fingers you can put in her.
Of the same hand?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not like it's like 3 fingers, 1 from each person. You can do that. Yeah. Or can 3 people put 3 fingers
in
each?
4 digits is the max number.
Is 4 digits the max number a woman can have inside of her at all time or for
okay,
one
wait.
Person?
Oh, here's my question.
Can 5 people put four?
What about 3 fingers in a dick?
I don't think they want the really kinky shit. That's the thing. Is they're doing it to protect the children again.
You said this is just porn? Or this is
yeah,
this is
porn.
Okay.
And especially digital porn. So they're trying to align it with their DVD laws for porn.
Oh gosh. This is interesting.
They want to be able to monitor, you know, basically block off internet porn where, you know, if you're in the UK, let's say you want to go to PornMD or YouPorn or Spankwire or one of those other sites.
You're very educated on the porn sites, by the way.
Well, PornMD searches all of them for you, so.
Oh, dude, yeah, what? I've been using Pornhub like a sucker. I mean,
Pornhub, Pornhub is just is one spoke in the wheel, my friend.
So, yeah.
But here's the thing. Can't people in the UK just use a VPN?
Yes.
Yeah, so what the fuck's the point? Like, well, I keep swearing it. I'm sorry. Long work day. Shop talk. But, yeah, can they just... What's the point of trying to regulate it? Their government officials know nothing of the internet.
Oh, yeah. No. They have absolutely no clue. But, you know, I was watching some YouTube videos.
Uh-huh.
And I came across one from that covered Piggate. Apparently, way back when... Before he stopped becoming prime minister, there was a thing where David Cameron supposedly face fucked a pig's face when he was in college.
Oh no! What he did was he put his wiener in the pig's mouth.
Yes.
As some like frat thing. I remember that because at Black Mirror, great show, messed up show by the way. Black Mirror, the first episode they had the like prime minister actually like fucking a pig.
Really.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, what do you think this is about, Gadget Doc? I mean, what happens when Because obviously we're getting pushed toward a direction that's very, very, as far as sex goes, I mean, the UK is opening up blowjob cafes and everybody's trying to figure out new ways to eat and exercise naked. And anybody wants to do is promote this sexual liberation beyond the point of sexual liberation to where it's just like sexual redundancy. It's just weird. I feel like people are so liberated that they're imprisoned. But at the same time, what the hell are with these like porn decency law? I mean, what is with this? Like, why do they want to regulate things that they're so for? Even that
psychodrama. That's the way you keep the people in the fantasy.
I just don't get it.
That's how you get the propaganda through. If you have people distracted by a psychodrama, you can do your malfeasance over here. It's smoke and mirrors. So what they're doing is they're getting you all hyped up, and you know, getting your emotions up that you're not thinking rationally. That's what that's about. But nobody's looking at it that way. So that's kind of why I wanted you to kind of look at the article I sent you. And then another psychodrama that's going on too is apparently in Morocco, a TV show.
I saw this.
Gave makeup tips on, hey, your husband beats the shit out of you. Here, this is how you cover up that black eye.
I saw this.
Jesus.
I saw that. And it's causing a lot of controversy, but like this is I don't know why. This is just it, everybody. I mean, dude, this is the culture clash we're talking about here. If that is like daytime television, where, you know, you turn on television in the early morning in America and you got Kathy Griffin and
Kathy
Lee. Kathy Lee Griffin.
The UK can look up your browsing history now too.
Kathy Lee Griffin.
And that affects me because I'm gonna have to VPN.
Gifford. What the fuck is wrong with me, Gypsy?
She's retired, dude.
Oh my god, I'm fucking out of my mind tonight.
Just a case of the Mondays.
No, I have to get off. I have to leave. I have to get out of here.
I think I need you to work on Saturday, Frank.
Oh, yeah, my God. I went from Kathy Griffin to Kathy Lee Griffin to Kathy Lee Gifford.
You're clearly talking about Kathy Bates, man. Get it together.
God have mercy.
Yeah, but getting you back to the point, that's about the clash of cultures. Continue from there.
Classic cultures. I mean, we have to. You know what? That's what I'll get up for tomorrow night. I'll actually get the video where they show. They're giving the tutorial on how to do your makeup after you get one of your weekly beatings from your husband. And then I'd like to invite Code Pink and the rest of the third wave feminists in the United States to go to Morocco, and Sudan, and Yemen. And all in Saudi Arabia and, Pakistan. I would like to invite all of you guys who have already said that you wanted to leave the country if Donald Trump was elected anyway to get off your asses, go out into Africa and Asia, and show us what you're made of. Bring a little bit of American exceptionalism to the world. Go ahead.
And show them how oppressed you really are.
That's the real oppression.
That's what we'll do tomorrow night. So we'll have the makeup tomorrow night, and
also you want to look into the UK porn. You want to look into the UK browsing history, because they GHGQ can now monitor UK browsing history. They got their snoopers bill passed.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's payback for all the snooping we do on them.
Snooping. If you're on a VPN and you're running like incognito, is that a problem?
I mean, when we're talking government spy agencies, I'm sure if they already know how to break through the tunnel, because let's figure this out. Most terrorists are not running on your Google machine, at least not your high level ones.
True.
Mike Delabate, they have access to whatever the law says. That's GCHQ, etc. Dan Spratlin says Kathy talk with Frank. Everybody else was trying to bail me out with Kathy Lee Gifford. They're trying to bail me out, but we're on a delay. Thank you guys for your help. I promise tomorrow night I will come on with like a sharpened, well sharpened shiv.
We need to save this episode though. It's got to be for the blooper reel.
You know what I'll do? I'll save this episode and I'll just leave it as is with the video. But before I upload it to SoundCloud, I'm going to take huge chunks out of it, because it's one thing if you're able to actually watch me struggle, it'll be funny. You can see it. But for there to be to listen to this and not have the visual context, it has to be the most annoying thing ever.
Do a quick announcement for the beginning of the SoundCloud. If you want to have a good laugh and see the whole episode, tune into YouTube, quite frankly, or quite frankly on YouTube. We do it every night.
Crap, frankly.
Yeah. It's at crap, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. We're here Monday through Friday. And if you really appreciate this content, reach out and donate to the Patreon.
Oh, please.
So sometimes we do some funny shit when we fuck up, because it's live.
It's always live. You never get anything but the real deal. We're all hanging out, okay? This is a basement conversation. You know how the basement conversations are okay, this is the feeling that I always wanted to bring into this show, always, okay, was the feeling of those really awesome conversations you've had in some really cozy basements before. Maybe you're sitting around, maybe you're smoking a J with your friends, maybe you have a hookah packed, maybe you're drinking coffee, whatever the hell it is. The candles are lit, the Christmas lights are lit, there's good lighting, everybody's in a nice zone, and the conversation is flowing. And in those conversations, sometimes you freak yourself out. Sometimes you start painting ideas about the world and ideas about what's going on inside your head and what could be going on behind the scenes somewhere, and these dark forces in the world, and the good and evil, how it translates to our personal lives and our families and all that stuff. And sometimes you're trapped in these fun little talks that you know nobody will ever be able to experience because they were not there for it. They were not in the basement. They didn't exchange the ideas. They didn't have those aha moments, you know? They weren't chilled out. Well, the thing that I wanted to do with this show is I wanted to try to bring those basement talks live, but on a digital type of a platform, so we can all get involved on it. Now, you know, some nights you just have those nights with your friends. You're like, all right, well, I think I'm turning in early tonight, guys. And you just go home. It's all right. We'll do it better next time. We all know what we're going to get out of each other. We know where this can go. We've had good times before, you know? So some nights you're grasping for shit. I'll be better.
And if you're not listening on the podcast, or you listen to the podcast but you want to participate, you're like, I got – this guy's an idiot, or this guy's great, but I he's missing a point. Tune in during the live program. Call in at zenlive.tv. You don't want to hear my thin voice all the time. Shit. I don't even like my voice. So be a member of here. And we got a chat going on.
The chat's great.
Oh, and especially if Frank gets me wrong, if you're wrong, I'm going to call in and be like, okay, listen, Frank, quite frankly, you're wrong on this and you're stupid. I'll tell you why.
And what do I do? You see, I'm not parading around trying to correct everybody. I've got a way of looking at the world. You're not coming here for unbiased opinions, unbiased commentary. You're coming and I have a bias, okay? And I just want to share my bias with you. And that's just all it is. So, by all means, I would like to see where your points of view come in on that one. So that's it. Hey, thank you both of you guys for helping salvage the last 20 minutes of this one.
Oh, no problem.
All right, Frank.
All right, you guys kick ass.
All right, have a good one.
All right, take care. Bobby G says, am I supposed to touch someone's pussy? I don't know what that means, but it sounds great. So everybody in the chat room, Bobby G looks like he is open for business. Contact him. So for everybody who stayed with us, I want to say a second thank you real quick to the Patreon Patriots. Go to patreon.com/quitefrankly for a show that is never going to stop as long as I have air in my lungs. And we'll keep growing this. We'll take it around. And maybe we'll do an episode right from your house one night. I don't know. Become a patron. That's what I want to do. Michael Wells, Nikki Solis, Andrew Great Dame, Laura Veris, Perry and Stacy Little, Mike May, LS Dan in the chat room, Rob Corrado, Max Ancaparato, Christian Peppers, Sean Collins, The Cocktail, The Rum. Pass me the Sean Collins. The ready-made mix, please. I'm on a tight schedule. Matt Smith, who's just on the phone. Rudy Escarcega, Jackie Milam, Eric Reitz, Whitney McShan, Matt DeFabio, Brad Meyer, Stephanie K. Beauty.com, Jenny Lee, Kate McCallum, Gadgetdoc, Marianne Hart, good girl Marianne, and Brent Antilles, all the good boys and girls. We all just hang out. In our Christmas tree lit basement. I hope everybody had a good night tonight. I guess it was necessary. We'll start off tomorrow with some more double fisting action right here on Crap Frankly. Have a fantastic evening, everybody. See you tomorrow, 7 o'clock p.m. Cheers.